What do you want?
Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Hey, folks, thanks for joining us. April 6th, 2020. 21, episode 135 of the Patriot Power Hour. Pretty crazy. These are stacking up. These are really stacking up. Ben the Breaker of Banksters here. Again, thank you for joining us this evening. Future Dan, not able to join the broadcast. He sends his regards. Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing his updates and thoughts on this episode, this solo episode with yours truly. And when he's back next week and we're live again together, I kind of, hopefully he has some questions or some bullet points. So that's your homework, sir. I know you're out there listening. But Ben the Breaker of Banksters, Patriot Power Hour, of course, PrepperBroadcasting.com. More than likely, based on the analytics I've seen, you are listening to this via podcast, or what I mean is archive after the fact, and more than likely through iTunes or Podcast Addict or a couple other apps out there. Wherever you're listening to not only Patriot Power Hour but Prepper Broadcasting Network, be sure to rate us 5 stars. Comments are highly welcome. Anything you do can help boost the visibility so more folks can listen. We have certainly grown since COVID, I'll tell you that. But anyway, that's a little plug to start the day. Of course, I have a pretty actually intense news blitz we're going to get to in the second quarter of the show tonight. We're going to do the full hour. But I first want to get into my bug out bike. And I'm hoping to enlist some help from some folks out there. My specialty is more on the financial side of prepping, which unfortunately isn't super practical all the times. I kind of wish I had a lot more homesteading skills, for example, but I'm trying to learn some of those. But all the shows on the network kind of helped me build up on that, whether it was the show last night with Off the Grid or a great example, this bug out bike. Our kind friends from the Next Generation show had already done a show on how to get a bike set up for, it doesn't even necessarily have to be bug out. If you listened to the show last week, we talked about it as a bug out / marauder vehicle. And being facetious here, again, do not promote violence and attacking folks. I mean more of industrial parks or vacant buildings. They may have some, you know, areas you might be able to get to if stuff hits the fan or everyone evacuates and you decide not to, for example. But that's the most extreme of most extreme. This bug out bike, and I've done a fair amount of research actually in the past week, and I actually made a purchase as well. So I'm going to run you guys through this just a little bit. I want some feedback. I mean, it's a little too late because I already made the purchase. I went all in on this. I'm like, you know what? This bug out bike, I've convinced myself with the research. And I'm going to try to make the case to you folks out there that it was a legit purchase. I'd say all in, $3,000. A little bit less, but just say $3,000. However, this is what I got. It's called the Rad Rover 5. You need to go look that up potentially. But it has huge tires. It's those big tire bicycles you might see with a 750-watt electric motor on the spoke, the back spoke. It can get you up to 20 miles an hour without having to pedal. Or you can put it on kind of medium or light pedal assist and use your legs. Of course, if you've run out of battery or want to conserve energy or just get a freaking workout. Remember, this is think of this first off as something fun and a workout machine. That's worth $1,000 out of the $3,000 I just mentioned right there, at least, in my opinion. If you want a quality bike, exercise, and have fun, you want to spend, you know, maybe $1,000's a little too much. But we're putting it at that. Badass mountain bike there. But I also bought, and this is what I thought was important, and actually the bike itself only made up half the cost. The other half was, number one, a spare battery. 6 pounds will get you another 30 miles of distance on the motor. And that doesn't include if you're pedaling a lot. I'm telling you, this thing can go 40 plus miles on one charge at 20 miles an hour. Or it can go very well off-road. Big ass tires. I mean, these are big boys. Again, go look up the Rad Rover 5 for what I'm talking about specifically. But you've probably seen it or heard of it maybe. Big tires. I think they're 4-inch. Are they 4-inch wide? I think so. Like, I'm not even joking. They're essentially two tires stacked next to each other. Two mountain bike tires stacked next to each other. It's like 8 road bike tires. So, again, the battery. I got a spare battery. So that was a few hundred bucks. I got 2 extra tires as well as 2 extra inner tubes. And these are, again, expensive tires. Expensive inner tubes, but very puncture resistant. I got them upgraded to be kind of more puncture resistant. So those are spares. I got all that spare. In addition to the bike, I got a spare battery, 2 spare tires, 2 spare inner tubes in case, you know, gets torn up or I really use the hell out of it, right? I expect the tires to wear out before the motor. I don't know. And what else? There's one more nice, it has a nice carrying rack, rear rack. It was like another $80, 100 or 80 to 100 bucks. You bolt onto the back of this thing. It's custom made, special made for this bicycle. Bolted on. Works, you know, it seems easy. It's got really good reviews. I checked in many different areas. I don't think they're fake reviews from Chinese bots or something, but maybe they are. I don't think so, though. Made in America. Actually, good question. I know it's based in America. Probably freaking made in China. You know, what can I say? Probably can't freaking find one made in America. Anyway, I hate buying Chinese stuff, so I digress. A lock. Now, I already have a bicycle lock, and I actually already have a folding mountain bike, which will be my backup bug out that I'll put into my vehicle. And I've used to put it in my vehicle, break down or somehow run out of gas or something, right? You can pedal your ass 10, 20 miles with your mountain bike that I have as a pretty nice folding. It's called the Montague. Check that out. First off, that's like, I think that was $700 to $800 4 or 5 years ago. I used the hell out of it. That was my first bug out bike, to be honest. The Montague. Got tons of use out of it. I actually ended up replacing the tires and upgrading the tubes because I had essentially worn it out because I had used it back and forth to work. And that's what I'm getting at again here. Yeah, it's a great bug out vehicle potentially. If the freeways are closed, you need to get the hell out of Dodge. You can get 30, 40 miles off-road on this bicycle and pedal if you need to more, or like I was talking about last week, solar charge. You might have to camp out for a couple days to charge up enough battery with this small solar panel, but it's possible. It is possible. So you could, you know, conceptually, if you had a small pack, but again, I had that rear cargo holder, You know, you could bring 100 pounds of gear with you, I would think. So it's like a mini motorcycle, much quieter though, and no gasoline. You need electricity, but solar is kind of the emergency. You know, if the grid, you know, SHTF, and there's no electricity anywhere, you might be screwed anyway. But maybe get some solar, at least get a few miles out of it a day. You know, every mile would count at that point. Anyway, so. Again, about $1,600 for the bicycle itself, and then $1,300 to $1,300, and this all includes a bunch of tax, unfortunately. Several hundred, or at least a few hundred dollars in tax. Yeah, you know how I feel about taxes. Anyway, I think it satisfied my urge to get a bug-eye vehicle. Now, I did hear... So, anyway, okay, let me back up just slightly. I've been looking for a bug-out vehicle or considering what should I get. Should I try to find a old, like, you know, early 90s or prior truck that has no electronics and is easily worked upon? I tried to do that, and it backfired once, and I'm not car savvy enough to fix my own shit well enough, like, you know, more than some basics. So I've already been burned on that. So number two, should I get like a Toyota Tacoma or something and just try to set it up, rig it up as a bug out vehicle? Potentially. But that, even a used, that's 10. More, probably, you know, 10,000 plus. You could easily spend more than 10 grand on a bug out vehicle. Like a, you know, motorized true bug out vehicle. I was even thinking a small RV or some sort of conversion. And these are all, there's some good ones out there. Very interesting stuff. I did some research over the last several months just to get the hell out of Dodge. Let's just say I live in a place that would be targeted by nuclear missiles for sure. Therefore, I'm not saying I would outrun a nuclear attack, but yeah, I would like to get 20 to 40 miles away from where I live in, you know, 6 hours at a moment's notice, with assuming that everyone else does too when the freeways are locked down. A bicycle could work wonders. Anyway, and bringing it back though, and then we're going to break. Got to go to the news blitz. Maybe I'll talk some more bug out bikes. I got more to talk about. For sure. I'm a blabbermouth. Don't worry. Especially when future Dan's not here. I'm like, don't worry. I got a lot to talk about. tons of news, though, today. But with the bug-out bike, again, I want to stress, it's not just for that worst-case scenario. Think about this. What if gas goes up to $4, $5, $8, $10 a gallon, or even rationed, you can only get 5 gallons a week at $10 a gallon? You probably want to use your bike a little bit more often. You know, if you can go 15 miles into town and 15 miles back, 1 hour one way, 1 hour the other, off a small charge you can do with a solar panel, that's a little better than the gasoline. Just thinking about it. I think it's going to be fun as hell to have, too. So, we're going to break. We'll be right back. Patriot Power Hour.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No. It's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
It's the second segment of the Patriot Power Hour. That means it's time to go to FutureDanger.com and follow along for the news blitz. Let's hit it. Without further ado, we're going to go from right to left today. Why not for our Chinese overlords? No, I'm just kidding. Here we go. Double mutant COVID-19 strain emerges in California. Add this to other articles we've seen of mutant or new strains. But this one's in California, and it's a double mutant. Go check that out. Pretty high-level threat as well on Future Danger. There is more than one aid and dying, you know, since euthanasia, for lack of a better term, aid and dying bills gaining momentum. Check that out. Toxic wastewater reservoir in Central Florida suffers a breach. They have all types of gnarly chemicals and phosphates. That's where, also, by the way, where they get your hydrofluorosilicic acid, I believe it's pronounced. That's the stuff they put in your water. Straight up chemical. Some toxic wastewater in Central Florida. They have a lot of mining and operations for all these things, and it produces toxic wastewater. And if that reservoir breaks and floods and breaks into the groundwater, causes big issues, and that's what we've seen here. Go get more right there on the link. Horrible news out of Indonesia. More than 40 people killed, hundreds missing after severe floods and landslides. Moving to the third column, or shall I say the second from the right. Government grew by 136,000 workers in March. Of course, this alleged bounce back in jobs has been heavily reported, but a good portion is government jobs, and still got a long way to go to make up for what was lost in the last 18 months, really, 14 months. Now, we're seeing some relatively sparse economic news, but I do want to mention that one of the indicators on Future Danger has ticked up. And what I mean is there is a live updating indicator in that column, in the economic column, called federal government debt to GDP ratio. And I've mentioned this many a time on the show. I believe when we started Patriot Power Hour, it was at the 108% range. It's at 129% now, and just since last show, it ticked up. As you likely know, government debt is not only increasing every year, but increasing at an increasing pace. So that has ticked up just another notch, every little bit higher and higher, never to come down, in my opinion, until the Great Reset. We'll see how that works. Speaking of Great Reset and potential ways to diversify and hedge against that, We're still seeing Bitcoin at near all-time highs, $58,110 today. When we started the Patriot Power Hour back in November 2017, so three and a half years ago, Bitcoin was approximately, dare I say, 12,000. So from 12,000 to 58,000 since we've been on the air. I've been supporting it ever since. Now, between when it was 12,000 and 58,000, it did drop to maybe 5,000 or 6,000. So it quite volatile. And you got to have some strong hands and be smart about it. When it went down, I bought. When it goes up, I sell a little bit. So, gold and silver, on the other hand, pretty stagnant. Pretty stagnant. They had a little bounce, as we've covered on the show a few months ago. But still seeing them relatively stagnant. Definitely up big year over year. Actually, let's really quickly look at gold. See, gold is only up 3.6% year over year, which normally 3.6% is quite a nice appreciation for gold, to be honest. You got to remember, gold is actually down 8% since January, so it's been getting hammered recently. Silver, on the other hand, is actually up 65% in the past year, so silver has been a big winner in the past year. Down 4.5% since January, though. And again, real quick, going to Bitcoin. What was it? That's an up year to date, and we'll leave it at that. Oh my gosh, I missed it. Anyway, most every market is near an all-time high. But how much longer is that going to last? And are all these things that are going up in value worth it? Good question. We'll find out someday. There it is. Bitcoin up 422% in the past year. Up 100% since January. Whew, that's hot fire. You know, the academic, I have a master's in finance, and my academic in me says, sell some Bitcoin and buy some precious metals if you have some Bitcoin. Because you've seen such an appreciation. Either Bitcoin is going to come down in value at some point, or gold and silver are going to go up big time. Yeah, no, that's just one theory. I do not give financial advice. All right. Moving on, another column. This one's the national security column. Unfortunately, we got several that are trending, all with regard to Russia. Russian forces massing on the border with Ukraine. Kremlin says that NATO troop deployment to Ukraine would raise tensions. Yeah, I would think so. If NATO did deploy troops to Ukraine and Russian forces are on the other side of the border, that might raise tensions. Pacific Air Forces plan 300 aircraft exercise in May. This is going to be called the Northern Edge. And this is, I've been seeing rumblings of this, but it's starting to get more and more prominent. Russia is amassing unprecedented military might in the Arctic. They have a satellite photo of a base they have there. There was also, this is super interesting, I don't even remember where I saw this, but three separate nuclear missile carrying, meaning they carry nuclear missiles, all surfaced right next to one another, Russian nuclear missiles in the Arctic. Of course, we've known Russian submarines are in the Arctic, and so are ours for quite some time. But they are really putting a lot of effort into that and making sure that they can strike back under duress or as a, you know, second strike, counter strike ability. So hopefully this does not continue to trend or escalate more, but those articles are available for you to review. I think we definitely did not cover this last week. I think it happened a day or two after last week's episode, but a knife-wielding assailant rammed into Capitol Hill barricade, leaving police officer and the suspect dead. Let's just say, if that person looked like me and had a radio show, you would never hear of it again. But guess what? He does not fit the conspiratorial white nationalist. I'm not a white nationalist, but that's what they would try to frame me as. You know, insurrectionist at the Capitol. If that person was anything like that, it would be blasted everywhere. But of course, the gentleman from Indiana and a member of the Nation of Islam. So, it's a horrible tragedy, a random guy, and even his family said he's gone mentally ill. Actually, I think they even said from playing football, head trauma, and that actually is documented. So that's horrible, horrible situation. But quickly, once it was known who it was, I saw that the mainstream media shifted gears and did not talk about him or show his face hardly at all. Whereas, if it had been a white conservative, guess what? It would still be talking about it and probably would have brought 10,000 National Guard back into D.C. Some of them have left, but you know, they're going to. Anyway, let's keep moving. Philippines defense chief says China intends to occupy more South China Sea areas. There's hundreds of ships in the South China Sea. The satellite photo it looks like a almost like a video game or even a child's toy, Legos or something. Massive cargo ships off the coast in South China Sea, just hundreds and hundreds of them. South China Sea, so important, equivalent or more important, in my opinion, than the Suez Canal to world trade. And guess what? If there's going to be a flare-up with China, it's there and or with Taiwan. Now, probably the most severe and probably important article of the entire night, border crossings in March jumped to the highest level in 15 years. I heard, and I'm going to do more research on this, but we're on pace for 2 to 3 million illegal immigrants in calendar year 2021. 2 to 3 million this year. That's essentially 1% of the United States population will be illegal immigrant. Just new in the past year. So, of course, there's all types of human trafficking, drug smuggling, and other very nefarious stuff going on with this. Perfect for cartels and criminals. That's half the battle. The other half is how they're using these poor people as political pawns and future voting blocks. Let's move on to the first column and get out of here. President preps anti-Second Amendment executive orders that can't be undone. Anything can be undone. Except putting toothpaste back in the tube. FBI promises to hunt down anyone who lies about taking COVID vax as vaccine passports loom. Treasury Secretary urges U.S. allies to adopt global minimum corporate tax. A global tax. What is tax? Tax is the ability to control and destroy. Global taxation is global government. And we got Janet Yellen, Treasury Secretary, urging U.S. allies to adopt global minimum corporate tax rate. Supreme Court resolves a 44-month-old case, Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University versus Trump. I'm going to have to read that one. I don't think I've gotten through to that one yet. And the final article before we go to break, AI emotion recognition is emerging. Stick with us. We'll be right back on Patriot Power Hour.
Fire. I want to tell you about the most affordable and effective preparedness purchase that you can make in 2021. Fire Edge is a fully customizable vehicular preparedness system. It can hold magazines, firearms, IFACs, tourniquets, pepper spray, flashlights, anything you need at arm's length. It fits snug in the door pocket of any vehicle. Oh, and how about all that for $20? Visit FireEdge.org today and use the promo code 2021, and you will get yours for $20.21. The ultimate in vehicular preparedness. Visit FireEdge.org and use promo code 2021.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
I see the bad moon horizon. I see trouble on the way. I see earthquakes and lightning.
We're back.
I see
Patriot Power Hour. PrepperBroadcasting.com. Again, PrepperBroadcasting.com. You can find our archives as well as a wide swath of awesome, awesome shows. From Next Generation to the Intrepid Commander himself to the NBC guy who not only kicks ass with his daily audio caches, but has some full shows here and there. We got Gunmetal Armory. We got Jafer. We got more. Men King, Stephen Men King. He's been doing great on Sundays. Carl. Gosh, I think I got everybody. Most everybody. If I forgot you, I'm really sorry. But PrepperBroadcasting.com. A lot of really cool people, personalities, topics, and information. We're not just up here. Well, I will speak for myself, but sometimes I'm up here, I guess, pontificating. But generally speaking, I'm trying to give information, whether that's news or just my, what I try to think, informed economic opinion. With regard to opinions, I try to keep my opinion out of the show somewhat, except for economics and finance, which I do consider myself an actual expert on. But that's what brings me back to my bug out bicycle. It's not a bug out bike per se, because people might think, oh, got like a motocross motorcycle, which would be a pretty badass bug out bike, go very fast, but run out of gas and pretty gosh darn loud. No clandestine stuff going there. But I would like, if you use Twitter, I know some people boycott it, but if you would like to give me your opinion on if I'm going the right direction or if I also maybe need to look at a bug out vehicle in terms of like a real truck. Right now I have a older Ford Explorer, pretty beat up, that I could definitely drive somewhere with, but it's not a bug out vehicle per se. I do have it some, you know, basic preps in that. But what I mean is like a true bug out vehicle. But anyway, if you folks have any advice, or even if you have some questions, maybe we can research them together, or really any comments, hit me up on Twitter, at BanksterBreaker, Bankster, just like it sounds, BanksterBreaker, at BanksterBreaker on Twitter. Let me know what you think. So, real quick, to finish up the news blitz, and then I'm going to get back into the bicycle, though. I do want to talk about the FBI promising to hunt down anyone who lies about taking COVID vax, i.e. getting a vaccine passport. Let's go look at this source information. FBI Minneapolis posted on Twitter. Again, I'm not a huge fan of Twitter myself, but a lot of folks use it. A lot of quote-unquote officials use it. I think it's a good source of information. I don't hardly post much anymore, to be honest, but I do read a lot there. But the FBI, Minneapolis, Minnesota, official Twitter page talks about if you make or buy a fake vaccine passport to misrepresent your vaccination status, you endanger other people and may also be breaking the law. Now, you can get to the actual press release here, which is what I'm going to do, and we're going to take a nice little look at it, see if we can make something out of it. But one thing I do highly, highly advocate is procuring and using fake vaccination passports, if you so choose to do so. I do not advocate for violence, especially, well, in self-defense perhaps, but not offensive, especially for political purposes. But I do highly encourage, and I even don't mind if this is on the record for DHS or anyone else out there listening, NSA, etc. I highly, highly encourage and may even start to produce my own. No, I'm not actually. I don't have the understanding how to, but feel free to investigate me, assholes. I do like this idea of using cryptocurrency, anonymous cryptocurrency, which may not be Bitcoin, by the way, to purchase some fake vaccination passports online, because you know what? It's time to make a freaking stand. And it's one thing if kids make fake IDs to go to the bars because they're 19 years old, right? They want to go to the bar. But vaccination passport, if and when it's mandatory for schools, mass transit, workplaces, places of worship, this is what it says right here. If and when it becomes mandatory for these, I say the best way to resist may be to make some fake ones. a nice way to resist. And they may get you a couple of you, you know. I'm not an attorney. I do deal with them often at work. But I find it interesting that the FBI, I know they have to say this, they say that it may also be breaking the law. I have a feeling that this is all color of law and is not real anyway, but I'm not even going to get into that because you know what they do to people like that and say, I'm a sovereign citizen. No, I'm not saying I'm a sovereign citizen or anything like that. They'll drag me away. I am not saying that, but I am saying this definitely goes beyond our unalienable rights. This is a mandatory vaccine. Especially as mandated by the government, right? Or, dare I say, government-level organizations. It doesn't have to be the government, but mass transit. That could be a, quote, private organization, but it's not. It's for the commons. It's, you know, of course, in New York, the Metro Authority takes over everything. The Port Authority, I'm sorry, the Metro Authority is in Washington, D.C. They're essentially, they are the government, heavily intertwined. But, you know, just like giant social media essentially serve as an arm of the government, so do other organizations. And if they require, and dare I say, the places of worship require these, you know, vaccine passports, it's just there's going to have to be a way to get around that, people. If you want to get a vaccine, go for it. I think it's a very bad idea. But do what you want to do. But don't mandate that I have to do it, okay? That's the key. That's where it turns into violence, offensive violence against me. Anyway, get off my freaking high horse. I don't rant too much on this show, but future Dan isn't here to reel me in. Anyway. Back to the bug out bike, something that's very fun, and we'll get to break and hit the last section of the show before we make way for next generation. A very sturdy bike lock. That was the final piece that I had purchased. And I said that I had already had a kind of a standard, pretty nice though, and highly rated bike lock for my foldable bike, that Montague. But this lock is impressive and actually locks in the battery as well. So it locks the battery, locks up the bike. Of course, someone can just take a sledgehammer to your bike and just totally destroy the rims or the drivetrain. I mean, you're SOL, that happens. But if you have to leave it somewhere unattended, which I would suggest not doing, at least you can lock it up. So that was kind of a pretty penny. But I know there are electric bikes out there that are cheaper. And maybe someone who's a badass electrician / mechanical engineer could create one themselves. I'm sure it's not super hard. It's beyond my skill set. I went to Purdue, but it was for business, not engineering. Yeah, my grandfather was an engineer. Did not flow down. I blame my father. No. He did not pass it along well enough. No, it's all good. But I think it's a decent bug out bicycle. But more importantly, and I'll end it with this. Think of all your preps like this. I even think of my finances and my financial preps kind of like this. At least half of it could you use if there is no end of the world or prepping situation, right? For example, I buy storable food that I would eat in a year, or depending on what it is, some of the really, you know, long-term storable food that can last 20 years. Will I actually eat it within a few years or donate it or not? This bicycle, I'm going to expect to ride it to work as a short commute, 8 to 10 miles back and forth on nice days, but also have a lot of fun with it. So I'm not doing it just for prepping. I don't have money. I have to justify at least half the price. That's how kind of what I'm getting at. I justify at least half the price of all my preps for entertainment or other purposes, like my garden. I do it for exercise and to get outside and get with nature just as much as I do to actually have a bountiful harvest, right? I could go buy sweet potatoes at the store for super cheap, but it's just more fun and satisfying to grow my own. And if stuff hits the fan, it's nice to have some, okay? But I don't do it just for SHTF, because guess what? I've been in this game for a while now, and I knock on wood, SHTF's not going to happen tomorrow. So if you always prep and act like that and are on high alert at all time, you'll burn out and you really will lose your edge, because you'll be over-prepared for a short period and then you'll give up, or you'll be out of money. You'll be out of money, right? So anyway, let me know what you think about my bug-out bike. If you have any questions, suggestions, additions. Again, I got to go look with the, I believe Ryan Buford put together a show about how you can get your bike all put together with headlights and all types of interesting stuff. So I'm going to go take a look at that gun rack. Cruising my electric bike with a gun rack. Yeah. Hopefully not in my future, but never know. All right, guys. We'll be back with the end of Patriot Power Hour. Stick with us.
You may have noticed the traditional media disguises and conceals the truth. Even when the truth is not being hidden, your attention is being misdirected. You're focused on some things to distract you from others. Future Danger assembles the key liberty, security, economic, and natural news of the day, sourcing from both mainstream and alternative media. What's more important to a prepper than knowledge? Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. FutureDanger.com.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Let's finish strong. Yeah. Keep it going strong. Final segment, Patriot Power Hour. April 6, 2021. Power through. First show of the second quarter. First show of April. Hope everyone had a nice Easter weekend, but it's back to business. Let's just say the least. This next year is going to be pretty crazy. Pretty crazy, pretty crazy, pretty crazy. I got a few more articles I want to cover. I think I'm done with the bug out bike, but it'll be a recurring theme on Patriot Power Hour. I'll let you guys know how it goes. But a few different articles I did want to cover before we run out. Let's see here. Texas COVID cases are actually dropping despite the reopening. Could it be the vaccine? Potentially. Could it be that Texas stopped going along with the fraud? Potentially. Yes, people have died from COVID and it is a dangerous disease, but we know there has been many states and jurisdictions that overinflate their COVID numbers. Maybe Texas is doing less of that. Regardless, Dr. Fauci can't explain why. Why, oh why? He says, quote, "I'm not really sure," Dr. Fauci states. "It could be because they're doing things outdoors. You know, it's very difficult to one-on-one compare like that with other cities, other states. Well, part of it, of course, is that it's warmer down there. Texans are, guess what? Independent but intelligent. Maybe people are still somewhat self-quarantining or at least not spitting in each other's faces." Okay? Just with some basic common sense, you can cut your risk of COVID very much, you know, down without vaccine. But anyway, I don't know. We'll see. This is interesting. I just saw this pop up. So didn't get the chance to make it on Future Danger because it's brand new. And so let me look at this. The U.S., they haven't announced it. And really, Future Danger probably won't cover this until it actually occurs. But the U.S. is mulling a boycott of the 2022 Beijing Olympics. Oh, interesting. Very interesting. What else we got? What else we got? I do not want to cover that one. I won't even mention it. Let's just keep moving. The vaccine passport is going along very strongly in New York, but is failing very, very, very much so. Oh, my. Here's another number. Remember I was saying, let's do the math real quick. Let's see if the number I was saying is accurate if I was being overblown. I said, what, 2 to 3 million illegal immigrants in calendar year 2021 is the estimate. This article, that was kind of what I heard, what I had read, but this actual article cements it, 170,000. These are just estimates. They have no freaking idea. I guarantee the estimate is not on the high side of things, okay? So, if they're saying 170,000, it's not actually 90,000, okay? But if they're saying 170,000, it could be 250,000. That's possible. You know what I mean? So they're saying 170,000 in March. Times 12 equals 2,040,000. So I said 2 to 3 million is what I heard, and this equates, if every month this year is exactly like March, 2 million. And add in that margin of error / fudge factor, 3 million's not freaking far off. Not out of the realm of possibility. And how many have been added in the last 20 years? Probably 10 million minimum. So already a lot here. Pretty well saturated. I think I got no beef against these people. We already got enough, though, man. If you haven't made it to America by now, like, come on. Sorry to say. And guess what? My wife came here illegally from Nicaragua when she was 2 years old. For real. Really did. And you know what? People like her and her family that came a long time ago, or even the people that came 3, 5, 10 years ago. Look, if you haven't come by now, like, how motivated are you? I know that's a little callous and a generalization, but holy crap. We already have a lot. Let's digest our food. Let's get them integrated, just like all the immigrants in America have been, become productive, happy members of society. You can't, if you turn them into ghettofication of this, if it's super segregated because here's where all the illegal immigrants are going and they're not integrating, that's not how America's supposed to work. That's not the melting pot. If you ever tried to make a soup or something, right? If it's not melting, it's not part of the soup. It's not consistent. They're not participating. It's not even their fault. They're being used. So, totally unsustainable. We're already past the brink, in my opinion. We need to digest our food. But now they're just pouring them in, causing a crisis on purpose, of course. Sad. Human tragedy, for sure. And national security issue. And just totally screwed up the demographics of the world because of America forever. You know why? These folks aren't going to be taught about Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence. No. They're not going to be on the fast track to learn anything about that stuff. Okay. It's really unfortunate, but they're going to be taught the opposite, actually. They're going to be taught the exact opposite, and that the state is your friend and the state. And Biden brought y'all on over. Do whatever they say. And they'll help you out. And there you go. Pretty messed up. Anyway, let's see. We've got another article or two to finish off the show. There has been a major, major fund that has lost, I believe, upwards of $100 billion. They have $100 billion in potential assets. They've already lost upwards of $10 billion. Hold, let me see here. Yep. Actually, even more than that. Long story short, this could be the canary in the coal mine. That's what I'm trying to get at before we end this show. These hedge funds are teetering on the brink. If you don't know, there's many large banks and financial institutions. You probably heard of a lot of them. Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Citibank, Deutsche Bank. Then you have major insurance companies, AIG, all these others. Then you have Morgan Stanley. So, you know, a couple dozen of those huge, huge players. But there are many hundreds of mid-size and even thousands of small-size hedge funds and other entities, special entities. They're not all hedge funds. But they pose just as much systemic risk, too big to fail, except they're all very small. And because of that, all it takes is one or two of those dominoes to fall, and it can knock over 10 more, which would then knock over a major player and make the next Lehman Brothers, if you know what I mean. Well, Archegos is one of those. It almost lost $10 billion for just Morgan Stanley. And that's, sorry, I was kind of fumbling over the math. Up to $100 billion is managed by this, and that's considered a relatively small. But because of leverage. It's all because of leverage. There's really $10 billion in assets. It's levered up to $100 billion. And because of that, the systemic risk is huge. This thing is blowing up. Billions and billions and billions of dollars are cascading through the system, these losses. We don't really know what it's doing right now. Do I think this particular fund that is blowing up as we speak? It really blew up. It's already blown up. We're just kind of watching the zombie take the last couple steps and putrefy. That's a good word, right? Putrefy. That's about right. This hedge fund here. All it takes is a few of these at the same time to blow up, and it's going to totally start a chain reaction that's going to take everything down again. We're going to see 2008, except probably five times worse, literally. Maybe 10 times. COVID was already 2 to 3 times bigger impact than 2008 financial crisis. So the next one's going to have to be even bigger. Be on the lookout, guys. There's a lot of threats out there, a lot of stuff to prep for. But this financial is still top of the list. Besides kind of the... there's a few, you know, we're running out of time, so I don't want to go totally down the rabbit hole, but there's a few major topics you need to prep for and you need to be informed about. There's kind of health, right? There's general society, what's going on in general society, health, food, finance. And I try to keep you guys up to date on the financial part. I'm seeing some red flags and some smoke, and maybe I'm seeing a forest fire in the making right now. Remember, Bear Stearns failed in March 2008. Everything started to collapse in September. It can sometimes take 4 to 6 months for everything to permeate. Hey, get prepped, folks. Every day it doesn't collapse is a great day. We should be very thankful for, but it's also another day to not only prep up, but get your fitness together. Try to get your family together. Do everything you can. And with that, Patriot Power Hour is going to call it off for the night. We'll be back next week, the 13th of April. Future Dan will be with me. Looking forward to it. Until then, stepping back. Next Generation's coming up. Go to PrepperBroadcasting.com. Follow all our shows. Check out the archives and the sponsors. And again, rate and like our shows. It helps so much. Tell your friends. Love you guys. Have a good night. Catch you later.